Yeah, is God awesome or what? He is. Before the youth leave, Jennifer, you can stand right there because I was actually going to call you out anyway, so it's good that you're standing there. We're going to just take a moment here while we're all together in one service to recognize our newly elected board that was elected by you in last month. So they're not so newly elected, but I haven't put them out there for you yet. So Jennifer Yeager is right back there. You can put your hand up, Jen. She's our board secretary. She's also leading our new middle school class. And vice chairman is James Martin. He's back there in the tech. It's the one you complain to when it's too loud right there, the blue shirt. See him waving his hands? He actually has a decimal meter, and we're good, man. John Hall. He's also back in the back room, so actually you won't see him, but he's doing the sound for our online. But you know John, he's got a big beard and long hair, and he's, you know, he's normally sitting right here with his wife. And so Glenn Saavedra, Glenn, are you in here? I didn't see you yet. Are you around here? So Glenn didn't, well, there he is, waving right there. Thank you, Glenn. Eric Lombardo, he's running around here somewhere. He's on security. Actually, he's the one that opened that door. I told those guys, don't open these side doors during service. Him specifically. And there he was, walking through the door. So now you know who he is, so you can say something to him later. All right. And then Kay Van Wagenen, are you here, Kay? There she is. Stand up there, lady, and wave your hand there. This is Kay. She's on the board as well. And Ken Sparks. Ken, you in here somewhere? There you go. He's in the back right there. So those guys are all your board. I want to pray for them right now, and would you guys pray for them? Father, we need you. We need your wisdom. Many decisions and things and plans that you have, God. We don't want ours or us to get in your way. We want your kingdom to be established in this place and for people to know that this is a place that is called the house of God, but it really is. God, we want you. So we ask for wisdom and discernment and guidance for these that your family has elected to be in these positions to serve you. And so, God, we do ask for a special dispensation of grace and, Lord, wisdom and discernment in their lives as we lead together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right, all you youth, you can get on out of here. Not that I want you to leave, but you have classes down there, okay? So, again, I let this be known at the beginning of the service. And I want to let you know that as we sent out the notifications asking for specific anybody to RSVP to help us work today, that that was part of the notifications that came out through your app and through an email. The door over there that's the cafe that's closed also now has the QR code, because I told Cindy this would be a great time to get the message to everybody when they walk over there that the things know. If you didn't know it was closed, that QR code will give you all the info you need. It's our app, and you can check that one out as well, okay? Just so you know, we're doing that. We will have one service again next week. Will the cafe be open? You'll probably need to find out. Just saying. All right. All the weekly ministries, all the small groups, which if you had the app and you had the email and you go to our website, you'd know there's a lot of classes that happen today, all through the week. The only thing, I don't think we have anything on Saturday, but every other day of the week, something's going on. Small group meetings, Bible studies, different things like that. And so anybody that meets on the campus, you're going to be downstairs, because the glass chapel is going to be full of these chairs, and this place up here is going to be getting flooring all the way through it, so nobody's coming into this building except the contractors. Okay, just so everybody's clear. This next Friday, there is a goal that this floor is completely done by Thursday night. So Friday we'll be resetting up our church, hopefully. That's our goal. And if that happens, you know, where there's a lot of stuff that needs to take place technically with all the stuff that's going on and the rerunning of stuff. We may have an acoustic service next week, but we will have church next week, just so you know. We will have worship, and we're looking forward to whatever God has planned for us, but we're going to do one service, and we are doing one service as a just as a plan to make sure we're doing good, okay? And then we'll go back to our regular schedule. But thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I know it's off some of your schedules, and we appreciate you making the change. Thank you for your donations, your patience, your working together. When I finally end up finishing this message and we're done, which I haven't started yet, just so you know, this is just info, all right? We will ask you to just stack the chairs and go ahead and leave, and you can go out these doors or the back doors or whatever you want to do. And then I'll have the people at RSVP to work, And if you verbally spoke with me and didn't get your RSVP and I told you to stay, stay. If I didn't, you're free to go and don't feel guilty or anything. It's totally fine. God's got it all covered. Just head on your way. Go have your early breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever you're doing right now, and have an awesome day. We're going to meet right back up here to get things started. Good enough? I don't want to do any more of that. Let's do it. I want to read to you. This is now starting the message, so if you're one of those people that times how long I talk, you can start now. All right, so we're going to read out of God's Word, your and my testimony. It's all recorded in God's Word for every born-again believer. Are you a born-again believer? If you are, say yes.
Yes.
I want you to know this is your testimony, and when you say you are a born-again believer, you are owning this. You ready? God's Word. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Remember, we're talking to born-again Christians, right? You guys do remember that. This is God talking to us about our new relationship in God, our new identity, the new person that he's remade. Keep reading in the Word. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. I'm letting the conviction sink in before I keep reading. I'm not even going to look at anybody in particular, but you know who you are. Don't lie to each other. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Isn't that awesome? God included all of us. We fit somewhere in that little description. And he's like, doesn't matter. That's no longer the way you're identified. So stop identifying yourself by your former life.
Amen.
Own who you are in Christ and allow that thing that you are and becoming like God to be your new identity. Let go of it. Stop owning that stuff. Let's continue reading. Barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Amen. Yeah. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We're just pausing again for the conviction to settle down in the house of God. You see what he's... oh my goodness, there's so much stuff. Isn't it awesome? What we're given here is God's word telling us, look, this is what the new life looks like. That's what your old life looked like. This is what the new life looks like. You're becoming like God. Remember, we're talking about becoming more like Christ as we mature in our faith. And so what he's telling us in the word of God is he's saying there's things that are in your life that need to not be in your life. And you and I need to identify those things and have them removed. We get them removed by surrendering them to God. He doesn't do the surgery until we open up. And we have to open up to allow him to do the surgery. So the Holy Spirit is the prompter of God. Remember, we look in the Word of God and it says he's the convictor of sin and of righteousness and the coming judgment. It's a threefold conviction from the Holy Spirit. He identifies sin in our life. He identifies where we're not being righteous. And he identifies the fact, you're going to answer to God, you better wake up. So as we look at this, then the Holy Spirit is God in the flesh, this flesh, when we've received Jesus Christ, who is actively at work in me and you in the transformation process of making you and I like Christ. He's got his work cut out for him, doesn't he? I'm glad the four of you got that. The rest of y'all understand he's got his work cut out for you, him, but he's God. He can handle it. Okay, the old life's gone. New life has come. We're no longer owned by this world, but by Christ in heaven. We're no longer living in sin. This is God's word, remember? We're no longer living in perversion. No lying. Becoming like him. Merciful, kind, humble, gentle, patient. Look at the contrast. It's right here in the Word of God again. We see this over and over and over again as we look in the Scriptures and we keep speaking what God's saying and he's laying on our hearts, because what God's doing is purifying his church, bringing us together to make us more like Christ so that this world will know that Jesus Christ is real, that he is the Savior of the world, and he's going to be seen through us. And church, the problem with our nation is not a political problem. I've been saying this. It's a sin problem. And the sin problem has existed in the church, where Jesus died to remove it so that we could represent him out there and people would know he's real. When we live no different, act no different, talk no different than the world, how are they going to ever know what Jesus can do? Come on. Church, like, it's for real, man. If I'm no different, then Christ has no power. And why would they serve him if you live no different than they do? Old life is gone. God, move in us. Let's look in the Word again. Listen, make allowance for each other's faults. Yeah. Yep. Make allowance for each other's faults. But it just annoys me. Yeah. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Yeah, but Lord, you're offended too, I know. So this is the heart of God right now. I'm only offended because I know you're offended. Man, you see how we can make excuses and like sanctify anything we want to sanctify. It says for us not to be offended. Like, don't just forget it, man. People are people. Because you're saved doesn't mean you are no longer human. You have a personality, and it's probably flawed. It is. All right, so just own that. So since our personalities are flawed, we're probably going to annoy people. We're probably going to, like, see, like, faults in other people because they're not like me. And so what the Word of God is telling us, like, man, just, like, so what if they're like that? And if they offend you, get over it. Forgive them. Do you know what God has to put up with you? That's what the Word of God's telling us. Remember, the Lord's forgiven you. You're going to tell me that you can't forgive that? Okay, so we do offend people. We all know that, right? Wow, man. We need to... Sorry, the cafe will be open next week, all right? No. Do you know that you offend people? You do. Even when you're on your best behavior, you're probably offending someone. All right, so if we offend people, then people are going to offend us. Right? All right, this is maybe your first Sunday here. I'm like a person that really wants to talk with you and you engage with me because you know what's going on. Okay, so if we offend others, others are going to offend us. So as soon as we own that reality of living as the human being, like, if you live by yourself, you're going to offend yourself. All right? Seriously, it's like, come on. But because we're saved, forgiven, and being transformed into Christ-likeness, none of us have arrived yet. And therefore, if we are not Jesus yet, then we're probably being stupid in some area of our life. I'm not making an excuse for sin. I'm just talking about us as people, as human beings in our fallen condition, because we have not been transformed fully yet. We are saved. We're being transformed, but we will be transformed into perfection, which is amazing. Non-offended or non-offensive individuals. Well, here we are. So we all have to learn how to forgive people that offend us. What's happening in our nation and in the world is all about division. And all you got to do is look back in the Bible, and Jesus says, you know, like that, we read the scriptures, divided house will fall, divided family will fall, a divided nation will fall. So the enemy's always trying to divide everything. He's trying to divide the church. He's trying to divide me and you. He's trying to divide us. He's trying to divide a small group. He's trying to divide every little ministry section of anything that represents Jesus. So we're not ignorant of that. We already know it. But what happens is someone offends us, and instead of following biblical teaching where it says we should go to that individual, but before we go, we should probably do a little self-examination, because probably we deserved it. But if not, and we find ourselves to be pure when we look in the mirror, then we're called to go to that person alone. Not that person alone and that person alone and that person. No, just the person that offended us. And we just have a conversation. And if that doesn't work, you call in the troops. That's what God's word says. You bring in the leader of the church. And then you have that conversation again. And you know what Jesus, this was Jesus' teaching, by the way, in Matthew 18. And he's like, if they don't repent and they don't change, I would kick them out of the church. You don't want that cancer in there. All right. That's an exciting moment. God forgave us. We're supposed to forgive others. We shouldn't have to run everybody down for every little offense. People are going to offend you, right? So that's why he's saying, just get over it. Forgive them. No big deal. I don't care if you like the way my hair is or not. I mean that respectfully. You know, the way I dress or what I drive or how I ride or whatever else. It doesn't matter. So what? Big deal. See, the forgiveness that God talks to us about in the scripture is the forgiveness of others, forgiveness of self, receiving what God's given. You know, we have to also let go of the past. A lot of us are still owning our identity back there when God's already forgiven it. And so, you know, everybody has stuff in their past they wish they could change. I mean, you do, don't you? I do. I wish I could do things differently. Man, I look back, I'm like, oh, Lord, oh my goodness. Like, I've done some stupid things. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about dumb. I mean, I've done dumb things as a father. I've done a lot of dumb things as a husband. You don't have to say amen, sweetheart. All right, so I've done dumb things as a pastor. I mean, seriously, I find myself, like, I actually went over and asked someone to forgive me this morning. And not because of what I was preaching, because God already said, like, you know, that was really dumb. I'm like, oh, yes, it was. I'm sorry. I got to make that right. Because, you know, the enemy will use any offense he can to try and cause a division or to make excuse for stuff in my life, because it's like, oh, he did that. What's the big deal? So we got to stay tender to the Holy Spirit. And when he says, yeah, no, that's not okay. I'm not even talking about sin here, folks. I'm talking about just being people. I tripped Kevin accidentally, it wasn't on purpose. Outside there, when I was asking people to move their motorcycles, I took a step back. He had coffee in his hand, spilt it right in his pocket, right on his phone, you know? So he probably didn't download the app, I'm assuming. I love you, brother, I'm sorry. So, you know, like, stuff happens, right? Like, okay, sorry about that, brother. Now, so I can blame him and say, well, why weren't you looking where I was going, you know? And But I mean, I stepped back and he was going to do what I asked him to do, move his bike, right? So it's like just a dumb little thing. All right. And all I'm saying is, like, we're people. We're going to do dumb things. Stuff's going to happen. We can either be offended by it. We can forgive it. We can go on with life and not even think about it, other than when you announce it to everybody. Man, you know, the amazing thing about God is, like, hear me right when I say this. God and I have no history prior to our relationship beginning, because when he forgave me, he erased it all. Man, I'm so grateful that I don't have a history with him back there. Because, like, he forgave me. And because he forgave me, my history no longer exists in our relationship. That doesn't mean my history doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in this relationship. And therefore, God is not looking at me like I was, but he's looking at me to who he created me to become. That is so awesome, isn't it? See, that's why I'm like, why do we keep, like, trying to identify ourselves back here when God's identifying us up here? And when he identifies us up here, his goal is to take us from here to there, not back there. He's not doing loops back there. If you are, quit it. You're being stupid. Stop going back into that old way. Start on the new journey and keep going. So we look at what God's doing. So in this new beginning of forgiveness, what the Word of God just told us was, this is what we have to realize, that some of our behaviors that were who we were still tend to hang out. And if they hang out, they come out. And so he's like, this is what's got to change. The behavior part of what you used to be needs to change in who you need to be. And that happens by the Holy Spirit's transformation from the inside out of us. All right, this is God's word. This is the way God wants us to approach our relationship with him and with others. Ready? Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will come back against you. Forgive others and you'll be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. You're welcome, Kevin. The amount you give... the amount you give will determine the amount. Don't listen to that part. You get back. All right. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into the ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. Ooh, that's awesome. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Yeah, that's League 6. It's great stuff, and we know this stuff, and I'm not going to dwell on that part. It speaks for itself. Look what Jesus is saying. He's going back to that aspect. Well, I should say the other scriptures are referencing the teaching of Jesus and saying that the forgiveness of the faults of others, I just need to be forgiven. We have to examine ourselves. That's the first step we do, is look at self. You know, so have I offended? Of course. Will I offend? Yes. Not a probably, I will. I mean, somebody will probably be offended before I'm done. Okay, it's okay. It's just what it is. But as we look at ourselves, who have I wrongly offended? Let's look at that aspect. Yeah. That was unintentional, brother. Wrongly offended, like intentionally. I did not see him out of the peripheral vision and step out like this. You know what I mean? So, like, but if I saw Kevin and I did this, that would be a wrongly attended, intended offense. But it was completely innocent, and therefore I am. All right, so now what we're looking at, what God says, and what we're looking at, though, God is saying, who have I wrongly offended? Has someone offended you recently? Well, we can work on that, I mean, before we leave, you know. But I'm saying is, like, has someone offended you recently? I was a little bit offended that the cafe wasn't open. I'm just saying, you know, like, Do you not know about my needs? That's a joke. It's okay. I'm not really offended. I'm just saying. Let's look at what God's word says in Proverbs 12:16. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. See, the flesh either wants to lash out and back. That's our flesh. If that's your personality type, you want to like immediately meet that slanderous word with one of your own. Like, that was nothing, I can tear you out. You know what I mean? Like that whole thing that happens instantaneously in the brain. The Word of God says that we're supposed to not do that. See, like the fool is quick-tempered. So, I'm not saying anybody in here is a fool. I'm saying God's Word says that when the mouth comes out before the thought happens, you got a problem. Yes. And the problem resides in the heart. And that's where God wants to change it. And when he changes the heart, the mind gets cleansed as we walk in this thing with God. A wise person stays calm when insulted. I mean, yes, Proverbs 12:16. We'll just leave that alone. So when we look at the fact that our flesh wants to lash back, or if we're not that personality type where we're not like going to say it, but we dwell on it, and then we're driving in the car later, and then we say it because we're like, man, I should have said this. Or we tell someone else. We have a problem too. The thing is, we're looking at what is our heart dealing with. So we look for opportunities to either cut someone down or tell others about their offense. As Christians, no longer in this world and no longer living in these behavioral ways, we are called by God to a higher standard of living. You do know that, right? God has called us out of the world to live at a higher standard. So Jesus shared these words in John 15. If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than a master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. So look, stop owning the issues and understand that when the world doesn't like you, your opinions, your views of the world, and what needs to happen out there, it's because of Jesus. Let it be because of Jesus. Don't own it. Let it just go right through to where it belongs, and that's with him, and he'll deal with it. And that's how we're not offended, because it's really a spiritual attack. It's the enemy that doesn't like Jesus, and he doesn't like him in you. That's why he's always trying to get us to be offended and to say things to other people. Because what he's trying to do is create those offenses and those problems and those divisions, because the last thing he wants anyone to see is Jesus in us. So if we begin to see the insults, the assaults, the offensive actions of others, and all the things that are going on as an act against Jesus, we don't have to own it. And we can be free of that stuff, right? Now, again, I mean, we're going to do dumb things and own up to that. But I'm saying when it's a spiritual attack, see it for what it is. And it's not about you. It's about the God who lives in you. See, when we act, talk, accuse, offend, and act like the world, the enemy has defeated the truth of God's word, right? Because God's word says that those he saves, he transforms. So when the enemy gets us to act like the world instead of like our God and our Savior, then people do not see Jesus as any power, any reality, and God as nothing. So we're not talking about perfection, so don't like get all hung up on stuff. That's not reality. What we are talking about is the intentional offense, the intentional wrong, the intentional sin, the intentional division on the part of a Christian. Can't happen. When I choose to engage in these types of behaviors, that's my choice and I should not. The Holy Spirit is faithful, and he's always flagging us down. And what he does is he puts that bridle in our mouth, and he tries to stop us. Now, I am going to have a couple of pictures of horses, and I'm not going to get lost in my horse talk here. I love my horses, love all this stuff. Just as a simple illustration, we've talked about bits and bridles before. But as we're talking about this topic, just going to use this in a moment for illustration. So for those of you that maybe aren't horse people or don't know how these things work or anything, we have a picture coming up, and I brought a couple with me because this is the bridle that goes on the horse's head, and this is the bit that goes in their mouth. There's a chain under their chin, and the reins go over their head this way back into the rider's hands, right? So we'll go back to that in just a second. But the picture is kind of blown up, so you can't really see it completely. But if you look at that horse right there, he's not reacting real well to the bit, as you can see. Like, he's fighting everything, and he's all tense, and his head is up. Like, the rider himself is not doing very well with this, to be honest with you, but I wanted to give you an illustration of the bit, and you can see it on the tongue. So what's happening right there, there's no teeth in the horse's mouth. God's pretty cool, isn't he? How he created them, knowing that we were going to use bits, and so there's no teeth right there. He's pretty awesome. That bit just slides right in that little open space because it would hurt if it hit teeth. Amen. God's amazing. So see that part right there? That's a bit. This is a snaffle bit, so it's like real mild, but that goes right over the tongue. So if you see the rings, that's what's happening in this horse, and he's like, gagging. Holy Spirit's been doing to a lot of us this week. Like, and we just keep fighting and like running our mouths. It's like, come on, man. See, when we're talking about this surrender, what's happening right here is what's trying to get into this little brain of his, ours, is like, if you let go and you stop fighting, this pressure will leave. But if you keep fighting and you keep pushing, you're going to gag. That's the point. So here it is. It's all in living color before us in God's word. He's like, hey, the Holy Spirit is there, and he's trying to get you not to do those things. So he's doing this not only on our tongue, but in our heart. He's like, don't go there. And then we lean into it, and we push ourselves in our stubbornness. He will pull back. But you can't stop a horse with a bit. It's a 1,000-pound animal. You can't stop him until he willingly or she willingly surrenders, period. So when I'm pulling and they keep fighting and they're going forward and I need them to stop, what happens then? I use this rein usually, and I pull their head right around to their own side like that. You want to go forward, you're not going to see where you're going. Because it does have the sense to be, in that little tiny brain, self-preserving. So I'm going to pull its head around all the way to its side, which they can do that. I'm not hurting them. But that's the reason there's a chin strap there. Because if not, the bit would just slide through. But that holds it in place. And then when you pull back, it puts a little pinch right there. Pull that head around. Like, you're going to keep going. No, we're not. I want to live too. Stop. Man, you don't have to answer this one out loud. I do ask you to answer, but don't do this one. How many times have you been looking at your ribs this week? Now the Holy Spirit's like, are you getting the picture yet? This means stop. Oh, okay. So as we do this, then we progress, right? So the next picture that you're going to have up here, so if you aren't familiar with a lot of the different fields of horses and stuff, this is called reining. It's a class that they do with horses, and these horses are trained to do specific things. This is a slide stop, so it literally is burying its butt in the ground and plowing the dirt to stop. But notice something right here that's different from the last picture. The reins are loose. Not being pulled, he was given a message. Stop. And he was given a subtle message. Stop. So what's happening then is, as this horse matures and begins to understand the communication that's happening, now the body in the saddle changes position. So it's a dead run. Before they do this, they're at a dead run. They take off and they're going like flat out running. As soon as the cowboy or girl switches their seat back a little bit, they got to put their feet forward. If not, they're going to get launched, right? So the horse already knows. We're stopping. And so that little subtle movement begins the brain connecting, like, stop, man, tuck the butt, slide to a stop. It's totally cool to watch. You can see that later on Google after you do the work, if you're supposed to be here. Slide to a stop. No longer are the brains, you know, disconnected. They're not like, hey, you're going to stop now. It's like a little touch. See, that's more like Christ. That's the obedience we're talking about. How God's word says how we're transformed. Now, some of you are young and immature still. That shouldn't be going on for years. Usually these horses are only 4 years old. Just got something right here for you. That's how big their brain is. Okay? At 4 years old, that little tiny brain knows what stop means. Just saying. Let's see the next picture. Look up close. Is that amazing or what? Doesn't even have a bit in its mouth, no bridle on its head, no nothing. So he's showing off. That's what he's doing, the cowboy, I mean. No, I mean, they do this, and like, if you look, see, everything now, this animal has become so sensitive, it doesn't even require any more of the head signals. It's just a little touch here. So it's like leg pressure, feet pressure, moving the saddle, and that already knows what to do. As we mature in Christ, this is the way it's supposed to be for us. You know, at the beginning, the Holy Spirit will, he'll wrench on you. He will. He can't stop you. But he's going to try everything he can to keep you from doing stupid things. And as we grow in Christ, if we're 4 years old in our walk with God and we're still looking at our ribs all the time, we probably have a surrender issue. Because you see, this is all about surrender. Like I said, that bit can't stop a 1,000-pound animal, not hardly. But it's learned that when it feels the pressure, it wants to please the master. And therefore, to please the master requires a response to the master's signal. So again, I'm saying, like, if an animal with a brain that big can get all that, what is going on with us? What's happening? And the Holy Spirit's like, come on, come on, come on. Get over it already. So I brought this one here for us today because this is my training bit. So the very first one and my little babies get is this. There's no reins attached. There's no chin strap at all. All I'm going to do with this is put it on its head, because it's the first time in its entire life it's going to feel pressure on its tongue. It's going to be like, what is that? And this is what they do when they first get it in. They're like, you know, like, what is that? That is weird. So some of you are still in that stage, so I wanted to give you the grace here, okay? In your early walk with God, and you know, like, you're still feeling a little bit uncomfortable about what exactly is happening. So nobody's getting wrenched on. It's just there. Now, I don't take that animal outside. Like, that would be crazy on my part, right? I have it in a little pen, put this on its head and just let it go. I stand there. And usually they're small brain, so they're not like thinking about what's going on in the world around them. They're not even thinking about going anywhere. Usually that's all about this. Boom, boom, boom. You know, like, until finally it's like it starts to calm itself down. And after a while, and it could take a while, depending on their personality type, you know, then I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to start petting them to get their mind off this and on me again. And then I'm going to walk with them, invite them to come with me. I'm not forcing them. I'm not dragging them. What I'm wanting them to understand is this is going to be a normal part of your life, and you're going to learn that I am still your leader. That thing's not your leader. It's not your master. I am. All that is a little tool to help you. God's so good to us, church. The Holy Spirit is that. It's like the first time we come to Christ, we receive forgiveness. The Holy Spirit comes in. It's just like something new gets slipped on us, and it's hard to get it going for at first. You know, we got to figure things out. And as we do, then God begins to work in us, and he's calling us into this incredible relationship with him, and he wants us to become sensitive to the Spirit. Listen to what God's word says in James 3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes a grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. See, God's talking to us about something, right? It's about surrender, surrender, surrender. I have to let that stuff go. I have to allow God to put the pressure on where I need pressure so that I can let go of those things and I'm not running off at the mouth, pulling from the old life, living in the new, speaking like the old. This is why the enemy fights the control of our tongue so much. It's why he does it. Because the tongue is truly the key to the obedience to our God. Ephesians chapter 2. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. Yeah. Yeah, that's a celebration moment, man. God's like, hey, I am a change agent. God's like, I am the one that changes you. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us allows God to transform us and change who we were to who he died to make us. The battle within is the flesh. The flesh is trying to give direction while the Spirit is calling us to surrender control. Galatians 5 says this, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Ooh, what? Oh, so there's a battle raging. Who's going to win? Well, I think God's bigger. But he's asking us to surrender control. That's what the whole thing is about, is my surrender to him, the Holy Spirit in my life. So as soon as the Spirit of God prompts, you obey. That's that little tug. We shouldn't need to be wrenched around all the time for God to finally get us to do the right thing. Surrender equals victory. That doesn't make sense in our flesh. See, in our flesh, we think control brings victory. Because I've got to do it, and if I do it this way, this will be the result. No, it won't. So The flesh is saying control equals victory. God's saying surrender equals victory. And that's the struggle we're in. It's why we offend others. It's why we lash out. It's why we do the wrong things. Because we're allowing the flesh to be in control, which is me, not God. Victory is only possible when we surrender completely to the control of the Holy Spirit. It's why we have to start our day meeting with God. If we don't start our day meeting with God, what I mean by that is pausing. I mean, you can get your coffee first if that's what you need to wake up. I don't care. What I'm saying is we've got to start our day with God. If we don't start our day with God, we start with self. And that's when things get jacked up. It's been a long time since my wife said this to me, but you know, I think I've mentioned this in the past. On days I was too busy to pray and spend time with God at the beginning, that's not okay and that's not normal and that's not right. But on days that I was too busy and kind of just talked to God while I was doing my thing so that I could check the list, as the day went on, she would say, did you spend time praying today? You know why? It's because Dave starts to come to the surface. The flesh starts to dictate things. And the flesh is not good. Dave is not good. Dave is... he needs to die. He does. And if he resurrects because the flesh is beginning to take over, then he speaks death. And therefore, I need to die and I need to stay dead. And the only way I stay dead is when I stay surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And I need to start my day. I'm not saying I need to get saved every day when I get up, like, oh God, please forgive me again. And no, I'm not talking about that. And I'm not making fun of you. If you need to get saved, get saved. Okay, that's not what I mean. What I'm saying is, Lord, I want to start this day as your son. I want to walk with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to show me, God, what it is you have for me today. Open my eyes up. See, when I do that and I'm driving down the road and this wonderful child of God wants my lane and I'm in it. Yeah. See, when I've already invited God into my life and he's working with me, he's saying, am I there? So maybe that's just God saying, am I there? When he moves into your lane. Are you surrendered? Is this about you or me? Is this your space or God's space? Is that your car or God's car? Is that your motorcycle or God's motorcycle? Is that your phone or God's phone? Anyway, what we're talking about, like, whatever, man. We just let it go, man. It's all about, like, who's in control. So it's only possible to live victoriously when we're completely surrendered, which is, like, totally not normal. Have you taken the first step in receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? When you do, the Holy Spirit places that bridle in your mouth. Your new life is going to feel awkward at first. It will bring joy. You will feel different, but your new life will feel awkward because you're used to being in control. And now there's something no longer there that used to own you, which is sin. And so even coming to church is going to feel awkward. I mean, for the first several weeks of being, I don't even know how long it was. It's been a long time ago now. But I remember coming to church thinking, like, why do I feel like this? It was like there was an absence of conviction. I'd never felt that before. I always felt convicted and wrong, and I was going to hell. And when I got saved, and it was the end of the service, and there was an altar call, and I'm like, what is this feeling? See, it's awkward when you start new, but it's a good thing. Someone came up to me last week after the service, and he was like, you know, it feels so good not to feel those feelings I used to feel in church. I used to know, like, as soon as things were going on, and I'm not saying their name or anything, but they were like, I used to do this, like, oh, like, because I already knew this was wrong, this was wrong, this was wrong. God had already spoken to me, but I wasn't stopping. So when it came to that point, it was like that, oh, they were looking at their ribs. Like, hey, you're going to keep going down that road? Yeah. Man, God's good, isn't he? Are you still fighting the control? Are you? Have you surrendered to the bit yet? Like, are you starting to feel that? Do you see a change in your life? Like, for real, I'm saying, like, are you not really responding like you used to respond? Celebrate, man. You know what I mean? Like, we're not here to beat everybody up and say, like, well, you suck at this. It's not that. If you're starting to feel it, that's awesome. You should celebrate it. But also stay sensitive to it. We stay sensitive to it by remaining obedient to it. And so, church, that's it. Here we are. Are you learning the promptings and nudges of the Holy Spirit? If you are, then he is probably nudging you today about something, because we're not Jesus yet. So what we have to do is whatever he's nudging us about, we either need to start doing what he's asking us to do or stop doing what he's asking us not to do. Not that complicated, is it? It's not. It's surrender and obedience. Stand with me, church. Please, if you can. The altar's open. We are definitely not in such a big hurry that we can't stop and pray. Oh my goodness. This is what it's all about. What is the Holy Spirit prompting you about today? Now, you may be standing in your seat right now because you don't really want to come forward and you're feeling that awkwardness. The Holy Spirit's putting little spurs in your side. Please move. Why in the world would you stay back there in your seat? Nobody's judging you. God loves you. He's calling you. Please be obedient and hear him today. Like, push past somebody. Be rude if you have to. Bring them with you. They probably need to come too. Church, man, this is what it's all about. It's this moment. It's like, okay, God, I hear you. I understand. I'm getting it. I see it. Here I am. So good, isn't he? Father, we love you. Thank you. I so don't deserve anything. Thanks for being patient with me, God. Oh God, wrench our head around. If we need it today, wrench our head around. Holy Spirit, be strong. And pull. Have your way. Teach us sensitivity to you, Lord. So grateful for you. Thank you. Thank you, church. When your heart's clear and you're good, man, tell someone you love them and you're glad to be in God's house. Yeah. And then stack your chair. God bless you, man. We love you. If you would just stack the chairs, and those of you that are going to help and you signed up, come forward and I'll talk to you.